Er lebt noch.
Schade.
Engländer, komm raus und halte die Hände hoch.
My name is Peter Pinner. Marenke is Lieutenant Royal Flying Corps, Squadron 19. And don't you bloody call me an Englishman.
Mr. Standfast by John Buchan. Dramatized in two parts by Bert Cools. Episode 1.
I'd started out in khaki in 1914 with nothing more than a great wish to see the whole business finished. But after 3 years, I'd acquired a professional interest in the thing. I had a nailing good brigade and a chest so full of gongs it looked like the high priest's breastplate. So you can imagine the infamous temper I was in at being recalled to England.
So, how was the Somme? You came out of it with a DSO.
And a promotion.
Brigadier General Richard Hannay. Mm.
Walter, is there a point to this? Frankly, I don't take kindly to being called away from my men when we're on the brink of a big push.
Of course there's a point, and you know it. We want you back in with us. Huh? The old game.
No, I've told you, I'm not cut out for the Secret Service. There must be someone better suited.
Not for this mission. Now, stop wasting time. Duty's duty, and we both know perfectly well that you're going to say yes.
Hell and damnation!
What Sir Walter Bullivant wanted me to do would have been bad enough for anyone. But for me, strong as a bull, sunburnt as a gypsy, and not looking my 40 years... It was a black disgrace. My stomach rose at the thought of it.
Fighting the Germans is pointless. I simply don't understand why we're doing it.
It's so good to meet another kindred spirit.
Our own tiny pacifist community, all in revolt against this ludicrous war.
What is your particular stance, Mr. Brand?
Well, I believe that a little common sense and civilized discussion would settle it right away.
With a little common sense and civilized discussion, it would never have started in the first place.
Ah, Lancelot. Just in time for dinner, clever boy. Our cousin, Mr. Brand.
Lancelot Wake. Mr. Cornelius Brand.
Wake?
Brand.
Good evening.
I'm sure you two men will have so much in common.
Lancelot's a CEO.
A conscientious objector. Well, that explained the sallow skin, the fanatical eyes, and the fact that he'd rather more hair on his head than most of us.
You know, Mr. Brand, no one's done better work for the cause than Lancelot.
The questions have been asked about him in Parliament.
Well, someone has to bring the truth to light.
The truth?
About our senior officers. Incompetent, stupid or drunk, the lot of them. You agree, of course.
I've heard something of the sort.
Oh, it's perfectly true. And it's not just in the field. The people running this war seem to think the whole thing's some sort of game.
A game?
Ach, that's terrible. Simply terrible.
That dinner seemed to last for an eternity. But at last the creature left, the ladies went off to bed, and I was alone and able to calm my nerves. Beyond the terrace, the lawn fell away, white in the moonshine, to a miniature lake. By the water's edge was a small formal garden with grey stone parapets which gleamed like dusky marble. Great wafts of scent rose from it, for the lilacs were scarcely over and the May was in full blossom. And I understood all over again what a precious thing this little England was, how old and kindly and comforting, and how worth fighting for.
Cherry ripe, 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 my pearl.
Good Lord. She was down in the little garden, whoever she was. And as I peered through the twilight, she came out into sight. Tall, slender, very young, and breathtakingly lovely. She moved with all the free grace of an athletic boy.
Cherry ripe, ripe I cry. Full and fair ones come and fly.
Good evening.
Good evening, sir.
That was beautiful.
Thank you.
Forgive me, but who are you?
Mary Lamington. I live here.
You do?
The ladies who entertained you tonight are my aunts.
Ah. And, do you share their views?
Don't you mean our views? They told me you're a pacifist too, Mr. Cornelius Brandt.
Yes, that's right. I am.
Right. No, my attitude is rather different.
But don't you find it awkward then, living here with them?
It's worth it. They're my camouflage.
Your what?
Shall we talk about it indoors? General Hannay?
Here.
Thank you. Look.
What's troubling you, General?
Well, all right, you know my real name, but how can I be sure it's safe for me to talk to you?
Walter said you'd be cautious.
Well, forgive me, but you could be an enemy agent in disguise.
You're right, I could. Very well. Let me prove my credentials. 3 days ago, you were ordered to change your identity, correct?
Correct.
You're a pacifist South African engineer over here on holiday, and a mutual friend asked my aunts to put you up for the night while you visit a sick relative.
Yes.
Not enough. How about this? In your pocket, you have a personal letter from your oldest and closest friend, a South African tracker named Peter Pienaar, who joined the Royal Flying Corps. I can tell you the contents, including the sad news about his leg. Are you willing to trust me now?
With all my heart.
Thank you. Now, Walter told you to expect further orders.
Yes.
Here they are. Firstly, you're to continue with your deception.
I'd hope that was just for tonight.
I'm afraid not.
It would help if I knew why I was doing it.
Because you must. I can't tell you any more than that, I'm sorry.
Very well. What else?
Peter Pienaar used to talk about getting the atmosphere of a situation.
How the devil do you know that?
It's not important. That's your next task. Getting atmosphere. Absorbing the feel of a particular way of life.
The pacifists.
Exactly. The half-baked. The people this war hasn't touched. Or has touched in the wrong way.
And where do I get this atmosphere?
Some rooms have been rented out in your name in a town in the Home Counties. Here's the address.
Thank you.
You're to leave at first light tomorrow. Oh, one more thing. Buy a copy of Pilgrim's Progress, the Golden Treasury edition. Have you read it?
Oh, in school, of course.
Read it again.
Why? Oh, can't you tell me that either?
Because it's a very good book. And because you might well find it useful. That's all for now. You'll be given more specific instructions when the time's right. Good night, Mr. Brand.
Miss Lamington. Wait.
What?
Will you answer one question?
That depends on what it is.
Shall I see you again?
Oh, yes. We're comrades now. Good night.
Good night. Good night.
Well, Dick, the Bosch doctors just told me he can't save my leg. No more hunting for me, I guess, or flying either. But they're treating us pretty well, and the smell of the woods behind the prison camp reminds me of home. So I reckon I could be a lot worse off.
That dreadful news, mentioned so casually, had made me forget the rest of the letter. But now something struck my eye.
There's not much to do here, Dick, so I've been getting in some reading. Bet you're surprised, eh? I had my Bible, of course, and someone's given me another book that's just as good. Pilgrim's Progress, it's called.
I reflected on how life throws up these little coincidences. And with that thought, and with the image of the girl who'd sung in the golden twilight filling my mind, I retired to my bed, oddly comforted and ready for whatever was to come.
Morning, Bran. Beautiful day.
Morning, Weeks. Lovely.
Shall you be at Ursula's lecture tonight?
I wouldn't miss it.
I do so admire Ursula Jimson. So John-esque in her lines. So, full of nuances.
Rather. The garden city of Biggleswick. I think it was home to every damned pacifist in the Empire.
This place is one great laboratory of thought, Mr. Bran. The intellectual history of England is being made here.
God help England. But I had my orders. Absorb the atmosphere. I walked with painters, drank with novelists, and discussed politics with conches. And I went to their lectures in the local hall. A sort of church for the undevout.
Thank you very much, my friend. Thank you.
It turned out that Lancelot Wake was a star turn there. They loved him.
Congratulations, Wake. That was jolly good. You made a lot of sense.
Yes, I did. And I hear you've been coming on a good deal yourself. Ivory.
A first-class evening, Wake.
Thank you. Do you know Cornelius Bran?
I certainly do.
Moxon Ivory, the local big cheese. They loved him, too, the Biggleswickians. No, that's not right. They worshipped him. With his pamphlets, his articles, his talks, his ridiculous societies, and his endless pronouncements about universal brotherhood and goodwill, he was the god of academic pacifism.
That's better. Now, Mr. Brand, I've been meaning to have a private word.
Too kind, Mr. Ivory.
I've been struck by your grip on these difficult problems. You may be of great value to our cause.
You really think so?
I'm sure of it. The League of Democrats Against Aggression would have a valuable new member in your good self.
The League of Democrats Against Aggression. After weary weeks of enduring this sort of rubbish, I was convinced that my great mission was nothing more than a farce. Until one night, everything changed.
Well done, Brad. You really livened up the discussion.
Good of you to say so. I appreciate it.
Now there's someone you should meet. I don't know if I can find her. My dear. Come and say hello. This is Cornelius Brand.
Good evening, Mr. Brand.
Good evening.
Moxon's told me so much about you.
Really? Yes.
Oh, honestly, Moxie, you might introduce me properly. I was sorry to miss you when you stayed with my aunts last month, Mr. Brand. Mary Lamington.
Pleased to know you, Miss Lamington.
Likewise, sir.
She unwound herself from Ivory's arm, and I tried to convince myself that this was just more of her camouflage. Then we shook hands, and I felt a small slip of folded paper being pressed into my palm.
In 2 days' time, go up to London and visit Trail's Bookshop in the Haymarket. Get there at 2. Destroy this note.
The game was afoot at last.
Good afternoon, Mr. Brand.
Good afternoon.
Welcome to Trail's Bookshop.
Thank you.
And the manager's expecting you, sir. First door at the top of the stairs.
Well, well. Mr. Trail, I presume?
Come in, Dick. Lock it too, please.
I know you're a man of many parts, Walter, but manager of a bookshop?
Don't be absurd.
Me absurd? Why have you brought me here?
Well, because it wouldn't do to have Cornelius Brand calling on me in Whitehall, of course. Now, take a seat and tell me what you found in Biggleswick.
A lot of ignorance and a large slice of vanity. Why the devil have I been wasting my time there?
You haven't. What if I were to tell you that high-level war secrets are finding their way to Berlin and there's nothing we've been able to do about it?
I'd be amazed. Some foreign agents managed to escape the entire British Secret Service.
Oh, we know who's responsible.
Well, then why don't you stop him?
Well, we don't want to. Not until we've found out just how he's getting the information out of the country.
Why wait until then?
Because we want to use the same route ourselves. Feed Berlin lies they'll take for gospel and watch them throw vital resources into dead ends.
Clever.
I thought so. Now, your mission. Now, take a good look at this.
Nose like a Polish Jew. Is this your master spy?
No, but he has close links with him. That's Abel Gresson. He's another pacifist.
He doesn't exactly look the part.
Yes, he's rather more militant about it than your recent acquaintances. He's the leader of a subversive organization called Industrial Workers of the World. They were responsible for some very nasty cases of sabotage in Colorado.
He's an American.
And just before the beginning of the leaks, he turned up on this side of the Atlantic. In Scotland, to be precise.
You think he's part of the chain?
We suspect he's the final link before the Germans. Your job is to find out exactly what he's up to.
But if your own people haven't been able to ferret out the details, why on earth do you think I'll do any better?
Well, because you can get a lot closer to Gresson than we can. Fellow pacifists are all there.
So that's why I've gone over to the enemy. What else can you tell me about him?
Well, not much, I'm afraid. We've been keeping an eye on him, of course, but he knows all the tricks, and we haven't dared risk a proper shadow. But we do know that he tends to disappear for weeks at a time.
So I have to discover where he goes and what he does there.
Precisely. And, Dick, Mr. Abel Gresson is an exceedingly dangerous individual. Be very careful.
Andrew Amos, the agent Walter had appointed to be my contact in Glasgow. A tiny man with smouldering eyes, hands like a gorilla's, and a surprising hobby.
Some men say they're prayers, but I like a tune. The principle's the same. Now, Mr. Brand, about your man Gresson. He's sailing on Friday as purser aboard a boat called the Tobermory.
Is he, by God?
She wanders every month up the West Highlands as far as Stornoway.
Does he do this trip regularly?
Well, that I can't say.
Still a lot more than London knew. How did you find out?
Well, I have ways and means of my own. Come on, get your hat.
Where are we going?
Don't you want to take a look at the man?
Can I do that? I thought he'd be keeping his head down.
Not exactly. Well, there he is.
Not going down too well, is he? Dear God, they're going to kill him.
No, he's away, look.
Where does that door go?
There's an alleyway at the back.
Stay here.
Mr. Gresson!
Who in the hell are you?
I was in the hall.
You're going to show me the error of my ways, are you?
Actually, I'm on your side. Shouldn't you be getting away?
Nah, I got enough friends in there to stop the stampede. They'll block the door.
And suppose some of the others decide to come round from the front like I did.
Is that likely?
There he is.
Yes, I'd say it is.
Right here. Come on, Jimmy.
Can you use your fists, Gresson?
Don't need to. I got this.
Put that away, you idiot. Get behind me.
Take the side, no lad. We've no quarrel with ye.
Go home, you fools. Leave this gentleman alone.
Fools, is it? I think you need to learn some manners, Lordy.
Stand still and take it like a man.
I don't want to hurt you. But if it's the only way... All right, my friend. Your turn.
You stuck-up Sassanac!
Is that the best you can do?
Well, neatly done, sir.
Ah, the local constabulary. I suggest we beat a quick retreat.
Sounds good. I guess I'm in your debt, Mr.
The name's Brand. Cornelius Brand.
Here. Scotch whiskey. Second finest in the world.
Thanks. Good health.
Mud in your eye. Hmm. So you're on my side, are you?
Pacifist all my adult life.
How's it feel to be in a minority?
Well, I'm used to it.
Yeah, I guess you would be. You live here in Glasgow?
No, I'm just visiting.
From down south?
Actually, I'm just visiting there, too. I'm over from South Africa.
Holiday?
Partly. Mostly, I'm working for the cause. I've been staying in Biggleswick.
Can't say I've heard of it.
Oh, you'd like it. It's full of our sort of people.
So, why are you up here?
My ancestors fought with Bonnie Prince Charlie. I want to see the place where he left for France. And some of the other sites, too, of course.
Do you believe in fate, Mr. Brand?
No, I don't.
Well, coincidence, then?
Maybe. Why?
Because I reckon I'm the very man to help you on your way. To the good ship Tobermory.
Thanks so much for arranging this. I gather that passengers aren't exactly the main priority.
You've seen the sleeping accommodation.
I've inspected my shelf in the corner of the saloon, yes.
Do you mind?
Not in the slightest. It's not as if I can run to anything much grander. And besides, it's worth it just to get away for a while. What's the timetable?
Oh, there isn't one. We just mosey around the West Highlands. Pick it up and drop it on.
What sort of cargo?
Just about anything. Yeah, by this time tomorrow, we could be sharing the deck with a dozen sheep and a couple of goats.
And you're part of the crew?
Mm-hmm. Purser. That doesn't pay much. But it helps keep body and soul together. And it's a hell of a lot better than being stuck away in an office somewhere.
Amen, my friend.
I was feeling pretty damn pleased with myself. After I'd saved Gresson from his thrashing, we'd talked well into the small hours on every aspect of the blasted anti-war movement, and my disguise had held up perfectly. I never thought I'd say it, but three cheers for Biggleswick and the education it had given me. Sooner or later, on one of our stops, Gresson would be leaving the boat to pass on the latest batch of military secrets. I had a shrewd notion how he'd be doing it. North of these parts, there were some fine, deep bays, just perfect for an enemy submarine to pop up at night and send a boat ashore. All I had to do was stick to Gresson like glue, and nothing in the world was going to stop me doing exactly that.
Take a look at your passport now, Mr. Brand.
Captain?
Your passport, sir. You do have one.
Well, of course I do, but why on earth do you want to see it?
No, sir. Your local passport. The paperwork for this trip, they'll no let you go ashore north of Fort William without you have a passport.
Well, I'd no idea.
Well, so you didn't have one?
No, I don't.
Oh, well, it's too late now. You should have applied to the military gentleman in Glasgow, I'm afraid. You'll just have to sit on this deck and admire the works of God from afar. Oh, that's a poor job, Mr. Brown.
Yes, I'm afraid so.
Problem?
How many stops before Fort William?
Two. Why?
Well, that'll be my last chance to go ashore. No papers.
Is that all?
Come on. Men like us don't put much stock in governments and their 2-cent laws. The police up here are hayseeds. I reckon it'd be a fine game to see just how far you could get.
No, I'm not up for sport. I'm going to have to change my plans.
How in the name of heaven could I shadow Gresson if I was stuck on board the damn boat? I was still trying to come up with a scheme when we reached the first of our 2 stops, the clean little town that was Oban. I made a beeline for the post office to see if Andrew Amos's ways and means of my own had turned up anything new for me.
P-117 stop. P-3 stop. A-A.
What the devil? Ah! It's a very good book, and it might well prove useful. Ha!
Page 117. Paragraph 3. 1, 2... Then I saw in my dream that a little off the way, over against the silver mine, stood a man who called to those passing to come and see the mine.
Ah, Mr. Brand.
Captain.
How do you like Oban?
I like it fine, thank you.
It has a grand setting.
There's copper in those hills. I put money on it.
Oh, you know about such things.
I'm a mining engineer. Maybe after the war, I'll come back here and try some prospecting.
Well, you'll make nothing of it.
No?
No one ever has. The costs are all big.
So it's never been tried? Not anywhere up here?
Only one place I ken of. The old iron mines at Rana, up Fornenskaya.
Do we call that?
Aye. Every trip. And we always bide a bit. But you'll not be seeing those mines, Mr. Brand. Rana's well inside the passport country.
And perfect for a secret meeting with the enemy, the people passing by. I wondered how the deuce Amos had found out about it, but decided I didn't much care. He'd saved me a lot of tedious work. Now all I had to do was get to Rana without alerting Gresson.
And that's gotta be one hell of a walk.
Up Morven, round the head of Lochiel, and straight back down to Oban. Should be a smashing hike. And all legal, too.
Well, I've said my say on that matter. What will you do after that?
Back to Glasgow and some work for the cause.
That's a great life, if you don't weaken. Good luck to you, Brand.
Thanks.
I'm sorry to see you go.
Goodbye, Gresson. It's been a real pleasure.
Bye. See you again. Maybe.
If you're... Once I was out of sight of the shore, I turned due north and struck over the shoulder of a great hill. And from that point on, I was breaking the law. I can't say I let it bother me. The air was crisp and clean. The landscape was pure delight. And when I stopped for a bite to eat, I had a wonderful vista of heather and bog myrtle and wood and water below me. Funny thing, though. I adored Scotland, and always had. But now, for some reason, I found my thoughts straying elsewhere.
Cherry ripe, ripe I cry. Fool and fair ones come and buy.
What the devil?
Stay exactly where you are, sir. Your hands in the air!
For God's sake, man! You might have killed me!
Come here, Ron. You know a warning shot when you see one. What's your name?
What business is it of yours?
I'll tell you. I'm Colonel George Broadbury, the deputy lieutenant of this county.
And a man on a walking tour is a threat, is he?
He is when he's Cornelius Brand.
What? Who the devil's he?
Damn it, sir. I've had a wire from the chief constable about you. Middle height, strongly built, grey tweeds, brown hat, sunburnt. You're a very dangerous figure. My orders are to arrest you and take you back to Oban.
I beg your pardon, Deputy Lieutenant. I'm not used to being pulled up suddenly in question. My name's Blakey. Captain Robert Blakey of the Scots Fusiliers. Home on 3 weeks' leave.
And how the deuce am I to be satisfied about that? Ah, by George, I know. Put your hands down. You're coming home with me. Some more wine, Captain Blakey.
Thank you, Colonel.
Ted?
Rather.
Thank you, ma'am.
Sorry about the mix-up, Captain.
You have to admit, you fit the description.
Oh, come on, Pa. So do most of the coves on walking tours up here. Grey tweeds, brown hat and sunburnt. That's practically a uniform. The police might have been a touch more specific.
Well, I'm sure they did the best they could. Anyway, your father was quite right to challenge me. What's he done, this Brand chap?
Can't tell you, old man. Security and all that.
Something serious, though, by the sound of it. Are there any search parties out? Roadblocks?
Could be. Why are you so interested?
Oh, I don't know. Always fun to have a bit of excitement to spice up one's leave.
I'll tell you this. If you had been Brand, and you'd made a run for it, I'd have been well within the rights to shoot you. Good job the boy here says you're Pucker. I knew he'd be able to tell a real soldier from a blasted fake.
Well, what a fantastic coincidence that you actually know people from my outfit, sir.
Not really. Your brigade was just across the river from mine at Arras.
It was good to hear news from the front.
Maybe I'll be back there soon.
Only if this blasted leg heals properly.
Looks well on the way to me.
Thanks, sir.
I have to thank you too, Blakey.
For what, Colonel?
For cheering up the boy. He was moping a good bit. Your coming's been a godsend.
Which is how I came to spend that night between clean sheets and to eat a Christian breakfast. I set off next morning, offering silent thanks to the old colonel for respecting a fellow officer and not bothering to ask for my papers, and wondering just why Cornelius Brand was so suddenly a wanted man. After 4 days of wary tramping, I finally pitched up on the slopes of a black mountain cliff in a landscape like nothing else I'd ever seen. In the jagged shadows of the fading daylight, the scars of the abandoned mining works turned the place into some nightmare primeval realm, uncanny and unearthly. It was a fitting location for treacherous deeds. Across a narrow stretch of water lay the Tobermory. And there, right below me, was Gresson, walking straight for the cliff face. My nerves were tight. I got quite a shock when he suddenly disappeared right in front of my eyes. Then I pulled myself together.
A cave. He's waiting in a cave, of course. Good God above! Wake! Brand! What the devil are you doing here?
So you're part of this business, are you? I should have known.
What business?
Wake. Listen. Listen. I'm involved in this too.
In what?
I'm working with Gresson, just the same as you.
Who's Gresson? You're not making any sense, old man. I'm just here to do a spot of climbing.
You can drop the act. I tell you we're on the same side. Gresson's down there now, and I'm on lookout. We're waiting for the submarine.
Submarine?
To collect the information for Berlin.
My God. You're a bloody traitor. You damnable blackguard!
No, wait. For Christ's sake.
You were a patriot.
So will you stop this?
What about your principles?
Listen.
I should never have trusted you.
You made a mistake.
Wait.
Sorry about this.
Ooh. Oh.
Now, for heaven's sake, shut up and listen.
Why should I?
Because I'm the worst kind of idiot.
What?
Give me a hand, man. Let me help you up.
Yeah, I can manage on my own. Thank you. Oh! Right. Now, will you kindly explain to me what the deuce this is all about?
And I did. I told him everything. By the time I'd finally managed to convince him, it was almost completely dark.
So you're a soldier?
Yes.
You know how I feel about all that.
You want an end to the war? Help me down these devils.
Right. What do you want me to do?
Well done, the pacifist. Wake had spotted the German sub breaking surface the other side of the headland. I pulled back even further into the tiny pitch-black crevice by the mouth of the cave and hoped I wouldn't have to wait long. I didn't.
In the forest, the little birds fall silent.
Just wait. For soon, you too shall be at rest.
Welcome, friend.
You have the goods?
Yes.
Excellent. I bring you a message. The caged birds understand.
And the wild birds?
The wild birds fly free.
They're obsessed with bally birds.
Code names of some sort.
The passwords are poetry.
Poetry?
Haven't you read Goethe?
Not a word. It's pretty poor stuff, judging by that.
No, you need to hear it in the original. Die Vögelein schweigen im Walde.
For God's sake, wake!
The Wanderer's Night Song. Did you hear anything else?
Yes. A name, I think.
Barmerz.
Yeah, Barmerz.
Mean anything to you?
Afraid not. Was that it?
No. There was one more thing. Something vital.
Pretty soon it's going to get harder to fix up these meetings. Take a look at this.
What is that?
Safe hiding place. Now, I can leave the stuff in there for you to pick up when you can.
Nice dry little cup of our birdseed, eh? Most ingenious.
After they're gone, I took a look.
Did you find their hidey hole?
Blind man could have followed their spoor. They might just as well have left a signpost. Yes, I found it. It's exactly what I was after.
So, what now?
We let Gresson get well clear of here. I don't know about you, but I could do with a pipe, a bite to eat, and a good night's sleep. I'll give you your orders in the morning. Ready?
Ready.
Whoa!
Just the thing, eh?
Oh, yes!
You don't get this in Biggleswick.
I say, Bran, look. Isn't that a destroyer?
Yes. Heading south.
You don't think that Bosch sub's still out there somewhere?
No. No. They'll be well on their way home now with their prize. Come on. We can dry off in the sun.
Right. I'm ready. I'm finished.
Here. That's a map of the area, a diagram of the cave and the hiding place, and everything I've learned about Gresson.
What about the conversation? The passwords?
No, that's not there.
Why not?
I ran out of paper. Besides, I don't want to put all my eggs in the same basket. Repeat your orders.
I'm to deliver this to Andrew Amos in Glasgow, speed being of the essence.
Good.
Look, why aren't you coming with me?
I'd slow you down. I can't travel openly.
Really? Is that because of the state you're in?
What do you mean?
Your togs, old man. Frankly, you look slightly less respectable than Charlie Chaplin.
Oh, hadn't occurred to me. No, that's not it.
Oh, well, your business, not mine.
What will you do after Glasgow? Back here?
No. This place has lost its sanctity. I'll be going home. I'll get to Amos as quickly as I can.
Here's something to think about on the way. Last night, you were in the front line. No, more than that. You were in no man's land, face to face with the enemy. You went over the top.
That's one way of looking at it. Well, good luck to you, Hannay.
One last thing.
Yes?
If anyone tries to take that map, eat it. My journey back down south was a curious affair. Now that my mission was accomplished, I set off with my heart light, reveling in the challenge of being the hunted rather than the hunter for a change. But eventually the reality of my situation washed away the thrill of the chase. I found myself reduced to sleeping in the shadows by day and creeping along deserted byways by night, no better than the lowest sort of common criminal.
Amos. Amos. Oh, for pity's sake, wake up!
You damn shuddering heathen.
Quiet, man. It's me.
Stay behind. Wait. That's better. Loose, man, you're not very respectable in your appearance.
What?
What have you done to your bricks and boots?
Never mind that. Did you get the papers? Are they safe?
Aye, they are. They're heading to their destination in sure hands.
Thank God.
Your man with the extravagant hair said you'd information in your heat to get to London.
Yes.
You'll not find that easy. You're wanted by the law on both sides of the border.
In England too?
You're posted as a dangerous criminal. What have you been doing?
Walking the Highlands without any papers.
This goes way beyond that, I'm thinking.
Well, there's been nothing else.
Then you've powerful enemies somewhere. Still, there's no sense in fretting. There's more urgent things to attend to. You need a change of clothes and a new identity. And a good wash, if you don't mind me saying it. I'll see what I can arrange.
Which is how I came to be Private Henry Tompkins, the 12th Gloucesters. I was in the uniform of a British private, complete down to the shapeless boots and the dropsical puttees. My hands were hard and rough and only needed some grubbiness and hacking about the nails to pass muster. With my cap on the side of my head, a pack on my back, a service rifle in my hands, and my pockets bursting with penny picture papers, I was the very model of the British soldier returning from leave. I also had a packet of Woodbine cigarettes and a hunch of bread and cheese for the journey. And I had a railway warrant made out in my name for London. God only knows how Amos had done it.
What the devil?
What's the matter, love? Don't they have air raids where you come from? Yeah, that won't do you no good. Come on, get up. There's a tube station round the corner.
How long's this been going on?
Too bloody long.
Bombing innocent civilians. It's indecent.
They're coming over again.
No, we should get these people further inside.
Oh, no, they want to watch. Can't blame them.
Is anybody hurt? Excuse me. Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm fine, thank you. Just a little shaken.
What about you? You're bleeding.
Pulled a bit of glass off, boy.
Show me. No, it's not too bad. Give me your hat.
Beg pardon?
Hold it there.
Oh.
Press down. Harder.
That'll stop it till you get some proper help.
Oh, thank you.
Anyone seriously hurt?
Oh,
Aubrey,
there's a man in a bad way.
Where?
Let me through. We don't know what's wrong with him.
There's no blood.
Oh, it could be shock. Now, listen to me. You're safe in here. Nothing can hurt you here.
He tried that, mate. He just lies there. Well,
help me turn him over.
Don't think you'll let us.
Well, we won't know unless we try, will we? Come on, old chap.
Oh, no.
No, don't fight me, man. Let me see if you're all right. That's the way. You ready?
Right you are, squire. One, two, three!
Good Lord. It's you. All right. Lie still. Let's have a look. No. I don't think you're badly injured.
Oh, my God. My God.
What's wrong with him? Is it bad?
Get out of my way. Out of my way. Keep him here. He mustn't be moved. Will you let me through?
Hey, you! Get back inside!
What? No, I can't.
Well, do as you're told, soldier boy. You want to get yourself killed?
Look, Constable, I have to get to Westminster. No, it's too late. He'll be at home. I have to get to Queen Anne's Gate.
That's not a place for the likes of you. I want your name and number.
Oh, for pity's sake. All right. Here are my papers. Hurry, please.
Private Henry Tompkins, 12 Gloucesters.
Satisfied now? Can I go?
You're not going anywhere, you bleeding coward. You're on the list as a deserter.
Who's in charge here?
I am. What can I do for you?
You can explain to me why you're detaining Brigadier General Richard Hannay on some damn fool trumped-up charge.
Yeah, well, he says he's a brigadier, but that don't make him one. How do you know about it, anyway?
I know because he bribed one of your cleaners to make a phone call. Now you listen to me. I am Sir Walter Bullivant, and I can have the Chief Constable here in 10 minutes if I so choose. And if Dick Hannay doesn't walk through that door in less than 60 seconds, that's exactly what I shall do. Am I making myself perfectly clear? You know, I rather enjoyed that. Brought back memories.
Walter, listen.
Yeah, excellent work, by the way. I've got your report, first class.
Walter, something's happened. Something terrible.
What are you talking about?
While the raid was on, I sheltered in Hoban Station.
And?
There was a man in shock. I tried to help him.
Very commendable. Yeah,
the strange thing was, I knew him. Recognized him as soon as I turned him over. It was Moxon Ivory.
Go on.
Then, as I looked at him, his face changed.
Changed?
I know, it sounds fantastic, but I swear to you, it's true. Right in front of my eyes, he changed completely.
No, I don't follow.
Well, it's as if the first face had been a mask, and he just didn't have the strength to keep it up any longer.
Yeah, you're right, it does sound unlikely.
There's more. The second face, his real face, I'd swear to it, God help me, I knew that face too.
You'd seen it before?
It was the man with the eyes like a hawk. The man who tracked me across Scotland 3 years ago. The German agent who disguised himself as the First Sea Lord and stole the fleet battle plans from right under your nose.
39 Steps affair.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you mean he's been impersonating Ivory?
Maybe for years. Maybe there's never been a real Ivory and the man's past is as fake as the rest of him.
That's a hideous thought.
Here's another. He must have known who I really was, right from the first day in Biggleswick. He's been playing me like a fish on a line.
The devil he has.
He's the man you've been watching, isn't he? It's Ivory who's been supplying the Germans with information.
Yes, it is. He's preposterous, but people like him. He flatters them and they tell him things. None of it's been top level, but it's been damaging enough.
Well, you can multiply that damage by about 1,000.
What do you mean?
Walter, this man can become anyone.
He can fool anyone. He can be a politician, a soldier. He could be you if he chose, or me. What if Moxon Ivory has not been his only personality these last years?
I take your point.
Man alone knows how many top-level meetings he could have been to. For all we know, he's dined at Downing Street or Buckingham Palace.
Well, if he's learned anything that crucial, he's not passed it on yet. We'd know if he had, believe me. And now we can pick him up and he'll never have the chance. It's excellent work, Dig.
I'm afraid not.
What do you mean?
There's something I haven't told you. When I recognized him, I must have given myself away. He realized what had happened. I saw it in his eyes.
He knows we're onto him.
Mm.
That's rather unfortunate.
Unfortunate? It's a disaster. If I'm any judge, by now he'll be heading straight for Berlin with enough classified information to change the entire course of the war. Dear God, Walter. What have I done? In the past, I'd always come back to my old Park Lane flat with a great feeling of comfort. I liked to see my hunting trophies on the wall and sink into my own armchair. But not this time. Even after I'd had a hot bath, got back into my proper uniform and put a good dinner inside me, I felt no better. I was worried sick by the sense of being up against something inhumanly formidable, wise and strong. And I was just about ready to admit defeat and chuck up the whole game. Then I noticed that one of the letters that had piled up while I'd been away was from Peter.
Well, Dick, my old friend, I'm still here in the Bosch prison camp, but it seems like they're going to send me off somewhere else. They do that with the hopeless cases, and I suppose a sick old cripple like me comes fairly high up on the list, eh?
Oh, Peter.
One of the other prisoners said I was very brave. Made me angry. I'm not brave. Not with the real courage, the big sort. The kind that you never let go of. Even when you're feeling empty inside and your blood's thin. I wish I did have that. Going on when it looks like everything's lost. I reckon that's about the biggest thing a man can do.
Honey. Right. I'll be there in 10 minutes.
Come in, Dick.
Walter. Oh. Hello, Miss Lamington.
General Hannay. It's good to see you again.
Walter, when Gresson met the German in that cave, I overheard more of their conversation than I told you.
Well, why didn't you put it in your report?
I ran out of paper. Listen, Ivory's involved with two organizations. The Caged Birds and the Wild Birds. Does that mean anything to you?
Not a thing. No. Mary?
I'm afraid not.
All right. What about this name? Bommerts.
Bommerts. Sounds Dutch. No, I'm sorry.
No. Well, but at least it gives us something to work with. I'll put my people onto it.
Good man. Now, we have to think about his blind spot.
What do you mean?
It's one of old Peter's theories. Every living creature has its blind spot. Doesn't matter how clever it is or how alert, there's always one source of danger that it just can't see.
Find that one spot, and you've got cover better than any bush or rock. And then, Dick, you move in for the kill.
In Mr. Standfast by John Buchan, dramatised by Bert Cools, Richard Hannay was played by David Robb, Sir Walter Bullivant by Clive Merrison, Moxon Ivory, Struan Roger, Mary Lamington, Jasmine Hyde, Peter Pienaar, John Glover, Lancelot Wake, Thomas Arnold, Abel Gresson, John Garasio, Mr. Iyer, Brian McRoberts, Miss Clare, Liza Sadovy, Andrew Amos, John Stahl, George Broadbury, Peter Marinka, and Ted Broadbury, Ben Crow. Other parts were played by the cast. The director was Bruce Young.